In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we talk about peacing out of school dances, being hangry on crime, and superhero butts. In our discussion of Kinsey by Sebastian Kadelsick, Kit Steinkellner, and Emma Steinkellner. Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult, and sometimes other books, series, authors, voice actors, and illustrators that is full of spoilers. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire, and today we're going to discuss Kinsey by Sebastian Kadelsick, Kit Steinkellner, and Emma Steinkellner.
Standard disclaimer. If you haven't read this book, please remember that Fictional Hangover is all about spoilers. If you haven't read and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read the book, then come back. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just like the show so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up.
Yay. Also, spoiler alert, Claire is likely to pronounce some of the names and words wrong.
And we're just going to go with it.
Yeah, literally Amanda spent a good 5 to 10 minutes before recording going through them, but my brain is a sieve.
It's fine.
Regardless of having them written.
It's
down
fine. How many episodes have we recorded together, Claire?
At least
300.
300. At least.
And it's fine, and everyone knows by now that sometimes Claire will see a word and something entirely different and will just come out of her mouth.
My brain and mouth.
They're
do not connect.
Friends.
No.
I think they might be enemies, in fact. It's fine, well, though. It's fine. Because I am friends with both your brain and your mouth.
And my superhero.
And your superhero butt. You're right.
Speaking of superhero butts, let's have some background information.
Hey! So I found this on cosmicosity.com. Kit says the email where Sebastian asked us to work on Kinsey is seriously one of the best emails I've ever received. I instantly fell in love with the premise. Magical coming-of-age stories are my jam, and it's been the greatest honor and privilege getting to write this story. Emma says Sebastian reached out to both of us together because, and Claire, this part applies to us, because, okay, say it with me, she says, working together, we are better. We were both so stoked from the get-go. I was more experienced with slice of life and diary comics, so I was really excited to work on a superhero story, especially because we were doing it our way. Something else you and I are good at, doing stuff our way.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We've had that conversation already. My way is mispronunciation. One day I will surprise everyone and say a really complicated word straight off the bat. Today will not be that day. she predicts.
It's fine. Do we have any initial thoughts?
I just really enjoyed it. This one was actually pushed to me by the library on Hoopla. Because of my comic book reading, please see all associated comic books that we've covered on Fictional Hangover. And it was, if you like this, you'll like this. And I was like, oh, and it's a superhero story. And I was like, yes, yes. And an Eisner Award winner at that. Amazing.
And then you were like, yeah, I found this book on Hoopla because the library forced it on me. And you love it. And so then I looked at it and I was like, yes, I want to read it. And so ever since that day, I've been looking forward to the time that we cover this one. And that time is now.
Yes. It's just absolutely perfect for this month's book thing as well.
It's a good wrap up. It's the last book of the month. It's very superhero-y. It's perfect for our ultimate cosmic power theme. It's just perfect.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And I like the fact that it's a superhero book, but it's a very self-aware superhero book.
Yes, it is.
And like even references all of like the kind of Marvel and DC kind of superheroes and just rips into it, a little bit, but more of a commentary. It's like if you were really got superheroes, these are the exact words that will come out of your mouth as well.
So good. So we need to just dig into the summary so then we can discuss it.
Yes, go.
The day before Lupe's quinceañera, the usually quiet hallways of high school are abuzz with excitement for her Mexican bat mitzvah. Usually, no one pays attention to Lupe, but now she's throwing a party with a DJ and food, and she's the center of attention. Yes, everything might go back to normal after, but Lupe has a weird feeling that it just might not.
Lupe's life is boring. She's a total nerd, same, and has the best worst family a teenager could ask for. Her mom loves her in a nagging way. Her dad is so embarrassing. Her older brother Carlos is a prankster. Her little sister Sophia is awesome, but her abuela Emma is always the best and never the worst. Point in fact, abuela has just finished making Lupe's quinceañera dress, and it is perfect. As Lupe changes back into her boring everyday clothes, abuela warns Lupe, with a great quince dress comes great responsibility. Her quince changed her life, and Lupe's, well, may very well do the same.
Lupe is freaking out. She feels like she's going to vomit and have diarrhea and have her period all at the same time, which, you know what?
Oh, that's the worst.
The worst. The absolute worst.
It's the worst. Absolute worst.
While she's giving herself a pep talk in the bathroom mirror, her hands start to glow, and then kaboom! The bathroom explodes. This is not the cool way to find out that you have superpowers. Abuela knocks on the bathroom door and pays no attention to Lupe's "don't come in." Lupe explains what happened before Abuela says they'll fix it. She takes Lupe's hands, instructs her to close her eyes and imagine the bathroom as it should be. When Lupe opens her eyes again, everything is fixed and it's time to quince it up.
The party is a complete success. After Lupe is debating whether she's lost her mind, developed magical superpowers, or, knowing her, both, in any case, she just needs to get away. So she starts to fly. Well, it's more like floating, and you know what? It's boring as heck. Eventually, she works out how to steer and makes it back to her bedroom, though not particularly gracefully. Flying is dumb. Her abuela is sitting on the bed waiting for her.
Abuela explains that magical superpowers happen in their family. Back in the 1960s, when she was 15, she didn't have a quinceañera because they were reserved for the wealthy. Instead, she got magical superpowers for a year. The best power was the ability to freeze time. She did all her best snacking that year. Lupe asks if she needs to quit school and become a vigilante now. Unfortunately, no. She still has to go to school. Abuela advises Lupe to use her powers, and wisely, while she still has them.
Oh. The movies have it all wrong. Being a real-life superhero isn't all hot guys and adoration. It's your abuela waking you up to train at 5:49 a.m. That means before the sun is even up, to go out into the desert so no one sees her practicing, and it hurts so much. Lupe protests, but her abuela uses Lupe's full legal name, so you know she's cracking the whip and means business. You would think the rest of Lupe's family would question what is going on, but no, they're happy to believe Lupe is training for a marathon or something. Training all summer long has meant that all the things that seemed impossible are now just really, really hard. Heck yeah, improvement.
As the new school year looms, Abuela warns Lupe that getting quince powers isn't by accident and that something is coming. Very ominous. This means Lupe needs to be ready at any moment. Therefore, she's got to wear her superhero costume under her clothes because there aren't any handy phone booths to change in anymore. Sigh. Infinity kajillion wedgies are in her future. That is so many wedgies. It makes me squeeze my butt thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got to be careful because that's also how you get wedgies. Lupe's first day of sophomore year was not interrupted by an alien invasion. Neither was the first week, or the first few weeks, actually. Lupe resorts to praying for something, anything, to happen so she can use her powers. Ask and it shall be delivered. At school, Hot Devin falls, hanging up banners and now hanging off the top of the gymnasium. Lupe rushes off to take off her street clothes and, in her superhero costume embossed with a giant Q, Lupe flies up to Hot Devin and catches him just before he falls. After safely delivering Hot Devin to the ground, Lupe kisses his cheek. Hot Devin is infatuated and Lupe feels so cool.
Oh my gosh. She's totally Spider-Manning. From then on, Lupe is busy being a superhero. Lupe barely sleeps since her abuela bought a police scanner from Amazon, and she barely eats as she's always rushing off to save the day during lunch. At least she's blowing up social media. As nice as randos thinking she's great is, it's the in real life attention that's the best, especially when that attention is coming from Hot Devin. Especially when Hot Devin defends her non-skinny figure to school mean girl Jasmine, who whines that she always thought superheroes were supposed to be skinny. Now, if Hot Devin would only see Lupe and not just her alter ego Q. Regardless of wearing a mask, Lupe tries to help people, like when Garrett Glick is getting bullied by some unimaginative douchebags.
So Lupe is missing sleep, skipping food, and now her grades are slipping because she has zero time for homework. Her parents are worried, so they've hired a tutor, who is currently knocking at the door. And it's Hot Devin. To add to his cuteness, he sings songs and plays guitar. God. He has a math song. In fact, on Wednesday, he's going to put those skills to good use, along with a big banner saying, Q, will you go to homecoming with me? Lupe is desperate to go and begs her abuela for permission, and she consents, though with a guilt trip about saving innocent lives. In her Q disguise, Lupe flies to Hot Devin's apartment and says she can go, but only for one song, because the whole, you know, superhero gig doesn't allow for time off. They kiss, and everything is amazing for, like, the next...
Oh my god. Unfortunately, that's when Lupe is caught by her mom and dad sneaking back into her room.
No.
Carlos and Sophia are there to watch her get in trouble, which makes things worse.
Ah, siblings.
Lupe's mom and dad think she's on drugs, or that she's fallen in with the wrong crowd, or could it be a boy? Abuela walks in while Lupe's mom is having a freak out, having never been a cool teenager. So she has no idea what Lupe is doing and tells Lupe her family needs the truth. So Lupe tells them she is a superhero. And they don't believe her.
Wah, wah.
Sophia's evidence is the best evidence that anyone could ever present. And it is that Lupe and Q have different butts. It's a very strong case. It's a very strong case. Abuela backs up Lupe, potentially with an overshare regarding the superhero costume, but still. Because this confession requires theatrics and needs to be cool, Lupe says she will prove she is Q the following night while everyone is at homecoming.
Ooh. Lupe saves a family from a burning building, which very much makes the point to her family that she is indeed Q. Even Sophia believes her big sister has a superhero's butler. Wow. While her family celebrates with ice cream, Lupe has another engagement. Her one dance with Hot Death and the Homecoming.
Having her family know her superhero alter ego isn't the blessing her imagination led her to believe. There isn't a giant stack of pancakes for breakfast in bed. It's still cereal. But this time, her mom begs her to be careful, and then decides she'll come to watch her fight crime, just to make sure that she's okay. No. Her dad tries to coach her, as does Carlos, and Sophia has ideas about her costume with better fashion. She should have just pretended she was on drugs. She misses the days of her middle child syndroming. It's equally annoying and awesome getting exactly what you want.
After winter break, however, things begin to change. There's a criminal spraying glowing green goo all over the school, and there appears to be a symbol amongst it. Lupe may not be the only one with superpowers at her high school. Lupe decides she needs to hang out at the school every night until the creeper comes back. Carlos volunteers to join the stakeout. That night, he dresses in black and puts on a mask. While they're sitting in Carlos's car, a sneeze comes from the back. Of course, Sophia has snuck out with them and hidden under the gross-smelling boy clothes he never cleans out. Ew. As they're arguing about the appropriate age to start fighting crime, Carlos spots a green glow from the school.
Lupe quietly sneaks into the school and spots the creeper painting "You will all be sorry" in glowy green goo. She uses her powers to push him back, which also reveals his face under the glowy green goo mask. It's the boy she saved from the unimaginative douchebag bullies, Garrett Glick. Insultingly, Garrett doesn't really recognize Lupe, despite sharing classes for literal years. Garrett also didn't naturally get his superpowers. His powers came from his dead dad's mad scientist laboratory, where he spent the last couple of months performing experiments on himself. Creepy.
Yeah. Garrett also needs a dictionary. He sees himself as an antihero like Batman or Deadpool, who will give those who have made his life miserable a taste of their own medicine. Lupe correctly points out that that's villain behaviour. Correcting Garrett only makes him mad, and he slams Lupe against the wall hard. He demands she stay out of his way, but she won't let him hurt people. He smugly walks away, threatening to telekinesis murder everyone at the school and fly away after revealing her identity, leaving Lupe to be the government experiment. Definite creepy villain behavior.
I was kind of worried that he was going to try to murder her with a chandelier and or a helicopter at some point.
Oh, that's always a potential. You should always worry about those at all times. Final Destination style.
And or Tegan Frost style.
Oh, both.
Knowing who the creepy villain is one thing, but being able to do something about it is another. While some of the boys at school use the creepy messages to their dating advantage, Hot Devin has complete faith Q will handle everything. Despite being a super cool superhero, on her way to her tutoring session with Hot Devin, Lupe still trips over a couple of chairs in the library and exclaims loudly, "Blech, my life!"
Later, instead of tailing creepy Garrett and making her move, Lupe goes to make out with Hot Devin as Q. Though she does confess her worries about the creepy Garrett. Not Devin. Hot Devin will always believe in Q, despite Q insisting her real identity is lame and she's incompetent at being a real person. Tearfully, she mutters, "Ugh, my life." Hot Devin gives Q a knowing look before telling her she needs to believe in herself as much as everyone else believes in her.
Lupe glares daggers at the back of Garrett's head all class, and as she walks out, she hands him a note. "Meet me after school. Let's finish this." Creepy Garrett doesn't show. Fine. Lupe will bring the fight to him, so she finds his address and heads over. The front door is open, and the house seems empty, which is super foreboding. Inside, Lupe finds Garrett's room, and inside, scrawled across his wall, is a message. You win.
Though the creepy message is an anticlimactic ending, everyone at school is happy the creepy villain is gone. Hot Devon intercepts Lupe heading toward her locker just in time to see her reaction to the flowers, balloons, banner and message, "Will you go to prom with me, Devon?" Squee! Lupe wants to know why he isn't asking Q, so Hot Devon tells her, "Not many people say, blech, my life." Oh, dang.
She slipped up.
He worked out her secret identity. But Hot Devon tells Lupe he is the dumb one for taking 9 months to work out the embarrassingly obvious. Now he sees Lupe, and Lupe is the best person ever.
Double squee! At home, Abuela isn't sharing Lupe's enthusiasm. She's concerned about creepy Garrett just dropping out of sight. It's too anticlimactic. Abuela also thinks Lupe shouldn't get distracted by prom. Lupe protests that she's spent the last year fighting crime. She's allowed to go to prom, plus it's on her birthday. Something feels off to Abuela, and she is disappointed in Lupe. But Lupe wants to go to prom and wants her Abuela to be happy for her.
The first hour of the prom is beautiful and romantic with Hot Devon. But then, creepy Garrett turns up saying, "Did you miss me?"
No, nah, dog.
Creepy Garrett then uses his telekinesis powers to cause chaos, and Lupe realizes he's going to kill Harry. But she's got to stop him, despite not having her costume and mask. As creepy Garrett has mean girl Jasmine, who has been crowned the prom queen, cornered, Lupe stands between them. Lupe tells creepy Garrett that, yes, Jasmine says hurtful things, but that is no excuse to try to murder her at prom. And his excuse about having a tortured high school experience is absolute garbage, because everyone's had a tortured high school experience. Also, he's not an anti-hero. With that, Lupe uses her powers to push creepy Garrett away. He uses his powers on her, and they begin to fight.
Creepy Garrett is stronger and meaner, which is not great, but Lupe is in the fight to win it and has a pure heart and the power of love on her side. Plus, she looks fabulous in her prom dress. Lupe finishes kicking Creepy Garrett's butt when the cops show up. Meanwhile, everyone at prom has been recording the fight on their phones. She begs them not to post the fight because she doesn't want her secret identity blown and to be turned into a government experiment. Jasmine leads the others in deleting the recording. Lupe saved her life, so she owes her that. Plus, she's trying to grow as a person because her sister says she has internalized misogyny. Anywho, the police drag creepy Garrett away while Hot Devon covers Lupe with his suit jacket.
As Lupe watches creepy Garrett get into the police car, her mom calls. Abuela is in the hospital. As Lupe is making Abuela promise to live another 100 years, she gets a text from creepy Garrett. He's escaped and is waiting for her at the old clock tower. Abuela tries to push Lupe out because she'll be 16 in a few minutes and needs her powers. Instead, Lupe holds her Abuela and using the last of her Kinsei powers to heal her.
Time for the on-the-nose final showdown. On the clock tower. Like, where else would you have a final showdown?
Of course.
Powerless, Lupe goes to the clock tower and takes the stairs to the top. Creepy Garrett is just Garrett, standing on the literal and figurative edge. He thought about murdering Lupe, but now he's thinking he might just murder himself. Or maybe both of them? If Lupe has a say in it, she votes maybe not murdering anyone, and maybe Garrett gets therapy instead. Angrily, Garrett uses his powers to push Lupe and demands she get up and fight before realizing she's powerless. He becomes confused that she would come to the showdown without them.
Lupe tells him it's what heroes do, and she's learned that over the last year that the stupidest thing to do and the best thing to do usually are the same thing. Garrett pours his heart out to her then. His dad died and he was the only person who liked him. His mom is a grief zombie, he doesn't have any friends, and his superpowers aren't fixing anything. Garrett admits he's broken. Lupe tells Garrett she isn't there to fight him, she's there to help him. She knows what it's like to be sad and lonely, she knows what it's like to have powers that don't fix things, and she knows they can do great things without them. As Lupe reaches for Garrett, he pushes her away again. This time over the edge of the tower.
Lupe falls. Just before she hits the ground, Garrett reaches for her and stops her fall. Apparently, Lupe is annoying, but not annoying enough to die. Gee, thanks. What a compliment.
Oh, so nice.
Well, Garrett is being pretentious and overly dramatic, but she still wants to help him. And that's how Lupe and Garrett became friends. Lupe sat with him while he talked to his mom. Garrett joined Lupe and her friends at lunch. After school, Lupe walked him to therapy and waited for him until it was over. Sometimes, people just need someone to sit with them.
Lupe sometimes misses her powers, but now she gets to sleep and eat and spend time with her friends. Without being a hero, it feels like she's missing something, though. Now Lupe does her heroing without the magical powers. She helps at the community garden, the food bank, retirement home, soup kitchen, and animal shelter. She doesn't do it alone either. Her friends, family, and Hot Devon are heroes too. Being a hero isn't about wearing a costume and a mask. It isn't about magical powers. It's about the size of your heart. Is that cheesy? Yeah. But it's also true.
Aww.
Oh. Oh. I love this story so
it's
much.
It's so cute.
It's precious. It's so precious. I'm going to go melt into a puddle of goo.
I'm going to go look at my superhero butt.
Yeah. I might look at it.
Okay. While we're looking at butts, you go listen to this promo from another show.
You can listen and look at
That's
your own butt.
That's true. Also,
look, everybody,
look at your butt.
Look at your superhero butt while listening
yes.
to this promo.
Good plan.
What's up, fellow book nerds? It's time to feed your fiction shelf addiction. Hear book club-style roundtables, bookish chats, and more. Join Tamara and her friends for fantasy and thriller read-alongs and other shenanigans over on the Shelf Addiction Podcast. Listen now on your podcatcher of choice. Subscribe for free, and you too can have a shelf addiction.
I absolutely loved this story. I loved it so much, especially every single interaction between Lupe and her abuela.
Oh.
So great. Her abuela is a badass.
She really is. She really is. Like, there's a story there.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you can imagine she reveals that she's like some kind of spy and you will be like, yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah.
Seems perfectly reasonable.
You were a model and actress in your 20s? Yes,
yeah.
That
uh-huh.
happened.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's not just Abuela either. It's the entire family. Her entire family is great, which is not something that we get to experience very often.
Nope.
Every single person in her family is fantastic.
Yes, that was so nice. Like, a supportive family, a family that wants to be there, and a family that cares about you. And as soon as she's like, yeah, I'm a superhero, obviously, there's some kind of like, really? Really? Because you say you're a superhero, superpowers. You've got a suspended
right.
belief in the natural
yeah.
order of things. But as soon as she proves it, I mean, she could have just flown, but like Abuela said, but she's like, no, it's got to be
cool.
Fact. they were just like, yeah, okay, we're here for you. We're gonna, what can we do? How can we help? And that just kind of support network, it's so refreshing and wild.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't have to be all... You can have the Lupe family in YA fiction. It's not all Garrett Glick families in YA. Yes.
I was just going to say the very same thing. Every family does not have to be like Garrett's family. And I feel bad for Garrett. But, you know, Lupe tried to help him as herself, not as Q. And he was... Yeah. She's kind of a dick. And it's understandable. Oh, he's going through some dick things. But still, she tried to help him. Why you gotta be such a dick?
I understand, like, you know, hurt people will hurt people. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And if Lupe wasn't there on the clock tower at the end, and if Garrett, you know, didn't have Lupe to talk to his mum, to walk him to therapy, to have lunch with, you know, and no doubt Garrett's also helping out with the community centres and the gardens and the food banks as well. He'll be one of those family and friends who does that too. If he didn't have that, you can imagine he was going to grow up to be an absolutely horrible, vicious person. But he has that person now. He has that someone who is going to hold his hand. Yeah. And as horrible as, I don't know, I don't care if it sounds horrible, but, you know, just because you've been hurt in your life doesn't mean that you have the right to hurt anybody else. That, and it's just a fact. Yeah. And, you know, plenty of people have suffered worse and been better for, have come out better. Because they don't let that, you know, dominate them.
And they let people help.
Yeah. But I think it's, you know, there are the exceptions. There are the people who have been hurt and don't have that support, anybody to help them or support them. And that's the sad cases. Yeah. But Garrett's got Lupe, and by extension, he's going to develop new friends, and he's going to learn how to socialise to be able to be a bit more independent. And yeah, not the heroes don't have to wear capes and masks.
No.
It's just that person who has to sit with you. And I really like that line where they say sometimes you just need somebody to sit with you, because, yeah, that is the case. The amount of times, you know, we've done it to each other where it's like, I don't need you to say anything, but I need to get it off my chest. And, you know, we virtually sat with each other while we've just kind of blurred out issues. And, you know, virtually held each other's hands and had the virtual hug. Because you just need somebody to sit with you. And that's so true. And I love the fact it is a superhero part of a story. You know, she has all these brilliant powers. And she's just saving regular people every day. You know, she's not doing any, like, alien invasions. She's not defeating Thanos or anything like that. She's just saving people from horrible things that happen every day. But in the end, Lupe, not Q, is the greatest superhero, and it's just so sweet.
It's very, very sweet.
It's snarky.
So snarky. Oh my god, I loved her sister talking about her butt. Like, that is the ultimate little sister move.
It was potentially, like, the greatest scene in the entire thing. I mean, there was a lot of good scenes, but that was one of my favourites, where Sophia is like, but you don't have a superhero butt.
Like, look at Q's butt and look at your butt. They're not the same butt.
I think I'd actually read that, because I've read it a couple of times now, and I think I read that bit and I got a message off you and a reply, and I went, I'm reading Kinsey, and it's just so quotable, and I really wanted to tell you about the superhero butts, but I was like, no, you need to find it for yourself.
And I really appreciated the superhero butt. It was amazing. There were so many lines that I liked. So I can't wait till we get down to, you know, our favorite final thought quote part, because there are so many. And I mean, I'm almost worried that we're just going to read the whole book aloud to everyone when we get to that
part. There's going to be some copyright infringement potential.
possible.
We may have to skip a couple of panels.
Yes, we might have to.
It's just so readable. It really is. And you can read this at the library as well. You know, it is available through library services. So, you know, people read this book. It won an Eisner Award for a reason.
Yeah, it did.
It's just so good. I'm struggling to think about what stood out to me apart from...
I know, it's hard to say. It's hard to narrow it down to like one or two things because the whole thing is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had read it not just as we were recording Tateo as well, where we kept calling everybody, like, I think there was Hot Devons in there as well. And then when it was a Hot Devon in this, I was like, is this something about Devons of the world? Are Devons just hot?
They must be. But in this book, there was Hot Devon and, like, regular Devon.
There was other Hot Devon, I think, as well. It was like, there was a few of them. Isn't that Hot Devon who you love?
Oh, Hot Devon.
I do have a question, which is actually linked to my surprise as well. So, you know, Hot Devon asked Q to homecoming in that big, like, you know, guitar and banner thing. And then when he asked Lupe to prom with the flowers and the balloons and everything and the sign on the locker. Do people actually do that?
Yes, sometimes. It did not really happen in the high school that I went to. Like, not everybody did it, but it did happen.
That's so weird. Like, when I was at school, we don't have homecoming here. We barely have any dances. And prom is now a thing at the end, but it's more like, I don't know, is it a graduation end of year dance?
Yeah.
Because prom here, to my understanding, having no one who actually, you know, I've seen neighbours' kids go to prom and get the stretch limousine and the big dresses. And it's always at the end of the school year. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was at school, my headmaster let us have one Christmas party in the first year, and that was it.
Mm.
So, like, homecoming and prom is just, like, a foreign concept to me. And especially this whole, like, I'm going to sing a song and put banners and get the whole school to be with me while I ask you. That's just weird.
No, it happens. Like, in my instance, in going to prom, I went to prom twice. Like, I had a boyfriend, a steady boyfriend at the time. So there was no, like, production. It's just an understood. We're going to prom together.
Yeah.
But, like, here, school dances start, I mean, maybe now they start before middle school. There's school dances, and you go to dances with your peers.
I mean, I had them in primary and second, like, primary school. There was just school discos. So after school, straight after school, where you got they had a tuck shop, which is just like a sweet shop, and you had you spend your pound and get your penny sweets, and these really cheap nasty pop that come in this plastic cup with a plastic lid over the top, and you've got to shove your teeth into to open it. The foul, but the greatest thing ever. And all the boys would be on one side and all the girls would be the other, and then it was just play the music really loudly and you shuffle your feet. They were horrible and awkward and painful. Yes. And my son's school does have a Halloween party and they have a Valentine's, which I think is really creepy for
children.
The age bracket. Yes. And my son has always said, no, I'm not going. Ew. To which I'm saying, ah, my child. You're a mini version of me. But, you know, they're just literally kids, they put the music on, kids dance around like fools. They have Christmas parties, but they're during the day, during school hours. So it's just, I think it's just not a big thing.
It's a very big thing here. When I was in school, like, even after the football games on Friday nights, there was this local place. I mean, it was a church, which I found, like, really weird because I was not super into church. But there was a church that after every football game, you know, there are four quarters in a football game. And so they had this thing. It was called fifth quarter. And so everyone would go to this, like, church gymnasium after the football game, and like everyone would dance and stuff. And I thought it was really weird, especially now that I'm thinking about it, and like the music that they played and stuff, especially, you know, even at the middle school dances, the music that they played was really inappropriate. Like, there's one song that I hear it on the 90s music station now, like, all the time. And I remember playing it and, like, dancing to it when I was in middle school and at these weird functions. And it was about, like, a guy dancing with a girl and, like, getting an erection because she was dancing on him. And, like, that's the lyrics to the song. I mean, it doesn't say erection, but, like, he was talking about his dick getting hard. And we were just, oh, yeah, I'm in middle school. I'm 12. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, so I need to share that song with you so you can think about your 10-year-old son dancing with girls to this song. It's not appropriate. But also now I'm very, thinking, very old. Well,
thinking back to the songs that came out in the 90s that people used to dance to, yeah, and stuff, like, a lot of it was to do with sex. Yeah. And considering middle school age, whoa, yeah, it's not,
yeah, no, it's yikes. But going back to the book, you know, that was your, that big weird discussion somehow spurred from you about asking people to prom. My surprise / question / whatever, I'm wondering, is Sophia gonna go through the same thing?
Oh, gosh. I would love for Sophia to be a superhero. She would be amazing.
Right? Like, are we going to get a book in a couple of years and it's Sophia?
That, well, it depends if there's a threat.
There's probably always a threat.
Well, actually, was Abuela her father or mother's mother?
I'm going to have to guess father's mother.
That's what I was thinking, because her mom
didn't have any idea what was going on.
Didn't have the Kinsera powers. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of where that was my ultimate conclusion as well. Oh, God, I hope Sophia gets it. And I hope there's a panel where it talks about how she's got a superhero bond.
Yeah, same.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Anyway. Should we play Would You Rather?
Okay. Yes. Yes, let's play Would You Rather. Because ultimately, there's just too much of this book that we absolutely love.
Right. It's very important. Everyone needs to just go and read it. And it won't take you that long. Yeah. It won't take you long to read it. It's really precious.
It really won't. And the ultimate, like, meaning behind it, that you don't have to wear a cape and that you can be a friend to somebody.
Yeah.
And see if that person is the best.
Yes, definitely.
It's cheesy, but it's true. We love cheese.
We do love cheese. Anyway.
Let's just dive into Would You Rather. Okay. Go for it. Pew, pew, pew. We asked on social media, you're saving people from crime, but it doesn't come without sacrifice. Would you rather skip lunch? You'll grab a donut later. Or skip sleep? Sleep is for the weak. Well, decidedly, people are skipping lunch. With Facebook, it was 93%. On Instagram, it was 80%. On TikTok, it was 74%. People value their sleep too much. And the comments we got. Colin on Facebook, skip sleep? Why don't you just ask me to skip breathing or coffee or something else that makes life worth living? I'll grab hold of that delicious sugary donut later on. Maybe two of them, in fact. And a bag of fish and chips. I've got a wee hankering for fish and chips, you know. I think I might be getting a little off topic, but it's true. Might even get a battered sausage with it as well if I'm feeling particularly greedy. Anyway, where was I? Hang on, I'll just check the question again. Oh, okay, I'm back. I'll skip lunch, thanks. Sleep rules.
Bree on Facebook says, if I skip lunch, I can take out my hangry on crime.
Oh, hangry on crime, I love it. I would be hangry on crime. Coral on Facebook says, I never eat lunch anyway, so super easy to skip the superpower here. So I'll come with a sugary high crash later.
Constance on Facebook says, you just try to take my sleep away from me. I wouldn't need superpowers to destroy you.
I felt threatened in that comment.
I think Constance might be an anti-hero, at least. Maybe a villain. And I'm here for it.
I'm all for it. She is the baker. What was it? The created on Redbubble.
Spiteful. She's a spiteful baker.
Spiteful baker. She is a spiteful baker. Yeah. She's already a supervillain. Yeah. And she can buy a costume at, you know, fictional hangover at Redbubble.
Yes, she can. And you can too.
Yeah. Anywho, Claire on Facebook said, I need my sleep. And there was talk of donuts.
Katrina on Facebook says, tough one, but I would skip lunch. I cannot function without at least 7 hours sleep.
What is 7 hours? Stuart on Facebook said, well, I'll skip lunch easily. If I skip sleep, pretty much everything else is getting skipped.
Finally, Crinoline LaForgon Threads said, good night's sleep and I can do anything. Just let me grab a cup of tea and pecan gogi pistachio energy bar and I can keep going until later.
Hashtag not an ad.
Hashtag please sponsor the show.
Yeah. Well, I'm skipping lunch. I have skipped me. I didn't have lunch today, so I can skip a meal easy enough.
I can't.
No. If we take the diabetes out of it, though, you do not have diabetes. You're 100% undiabetic. You have that option.
But I don't, and I can't separate myself from it. I can't skip lunch. I have to eat. Else I get real mad and then I get real woozy and then I have no powers at all. So I'll wake up early. I'll give up my sleep. Just let me eat.
But before that, you've got Hangry on Crime. I'm stealing that brain.
Hangry.
Yoink. Official noughties of stuff.
Yes,
theft.
Hangry on Crime is... I mean, that might need a design. It might need to go into the shop.
I'm thinking about what it could be for a t-shirt. I know, right?
But yeah, I can't not eat. I can't. I will have no powers. I will have no energy. I will have nothing. So.
Yeah. See, I skip lunch meals because I can. I, you know, have stored energy. I don't sleep well either. And yet I can still function in inverted quotes during the day. My problem is, though, and it's guaranteed to happen, that if I don't have much sleep, I'm so hungry the next day. I like have to have the biggest breakfast. I had a sandwich the other day. I had to go to the office. I only had 3 hours sleep and I ended up buying a sandwich and eating a sandwich for breakfast at 7:30 in the morning because I was so freaking hungry. And if I hadn't, I would have been the hangriest person all day. So yeah, if I skip sleep, very much like Stuart's comment, if I skip sleep, pretty much everything else gets skipped.
Yeah.
Or I'm just going to end up eating the entirety of the next day, so I'll just skip lunch. I can deal with that. I'll harness the power of hangry to fight crime.
Sure.
Like Bree says.
Yeah. Okay, so imagine that you are in a place that has school dances.
Okay.
Would you rather go as your normal street self or as your superhero alter ego?
Do I have friends I can go with?
Yeah, of course.
I'm not bothered about the date. I would rather hang with friends.
Yeah, you've got some friends, of course.
Right then, I am going to go as my normal street self, have an absolutely blast of a time, and I'll just hang out with my friends all night.
Okay, great.
And if I have a sweetie, I have a sweetie. Yeah. If I don't need a sweetie. I'm a strong, independent woman.
See, I think that I would rather go as my superhero alter ego. And it is because I will inevitably get tired of the dancing and like not want to do it anymore and get annoyed. And so I'll just be like, sorry, I'm getting an important call from the police. Gotta go. And then just fly off through the ceiling in a very dramatic exit.
See, you know, you can do that with your friends as well and go, I'm tired, I'm bored, or I'm just, you know, I've peopled out.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Peace.
You won't be able to obviously go through the ceiling though.
Right. And that's,
which I feel is the important,
that's the important part, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we need the dramatic exits.
Yes. Dramatic exits are important.
Just because image you going, peace out, homies. Oh, sorry, brain. Okay. You need to explain your strange behaviour to your very suspicious family. Would you rather tell them you're a superhero or you're on drugs?
Again, same reason as before. I'm going to tell them I'm a superhero and then I'm just going to peace out through the ceiling.
Yes, I'm stealing that completely. 100%.
Yeah,
I'm
going just peace out and fly off.
Watch my superhero butt fly out of here.
Would you rather have your mom come and watch you fight crime to make sure you're okay, or your dad and brother give you tips like they're coaching a sports team?
I'm going to go with dad and brother coach. Mainly because I would like my actual brother to even attempt that, considering he's as bad as me with sports, and it's like, what is this, foot to the ball game? What? They have halves? You have to score? Plus, I wouldn't want my mum there because she would distract me so badly. I love my mum to pieces, but she would be like... And I'll be like, Mom, shut up. But also, I really wouldn't want her to get hurt by the supervillains.
Right.
Or the criminals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would be constantly making sure she's okay. I don't want her to get into to bother with the criminals.
Same. That is my exact same answer. I wouldn't want my mom to get hurt. Well, I feel like my dad... and or brother trying to coach me, they'd be coaching me, you know, from home. Yeah. We would work out plans and things, so that would be fine, and we could put those plans into practice, but they wouldn't be there to get hurt. So
exactly. Yeah. And at least, like, if the players are worked out at home and you don't do it, you're not gonna get shouted at.
Yeah, it's not like they're there watching you.
Exactly. Nobody needs a backseat superhero.
No, unless it's your sister who's hiding under the dirty clothes in the backseat of the car.
And then she just smells like dirty boy clothes.
Right? And then maybe one day she'll get powers too. It's our last question.
I was just about to ask that. Would you rather go to prom with a super cutie in a very super cute dress, or go to the climactic final battle with your arch nemesis? You can decide what you want for your arch nemesis climactic final battle.
Okay. Lord and master of my own universe. Lord and master of my own would you rathers. I'm going to prom. I'm busting out through the ceiling. I'm piecing out through the ceiling to fly off to the maybe anticlimactic final battle with my arch nemesis. I'm putting them together, and I don't care. I know there's no option C, but I just really like piecing out of dances.
Oh, that's my favourite thing. I'm just piecing up dances.
Come on, peace out of the dance with me.
I was gonna say I'm gonna peace out as well. Why the hell not?
Just do it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hole in the ceiling. Peace out.
Yeah, it's fine. And if we go together, ooh, Claire, we have to go together and we both have to be superheroes. But when we peace out through the ceiling, it has to be like, we have to turn our bodies so that way when we peace out, it'll be like our cutout shapes.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I'm sorry, were you just expecting a giant hole all
right,
this time?
I know.
No.
Cartoon style human superhero outlines with peace signs.
Cartoon style, kind of like, you know, it looks like somebody's fallen through, you know, arms out.
Yeah.
Or Charlie's Angels paused.
Yes. Yes. But instead of holding up finger guns, peace signs.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect end to Would You Rather. Nothing else could be better.
It is a done deal.
All right. Peaced out.
It's peace out of Would You Rather.
Favorite final thought quote.
Right. Okay. So, I have a few, but I have more. So I'm thinking, let's go through our picked out ones.
Yes.
And then we'll probably just read the rest of the book.
Yes.
Well, I'm here to report that my first day of school was alien free. Boo! Bullying isn't a rite of passage anymore. It's basically been illegal since 2009. You belong to an extinct species. Now run along and go and get therapy. Spoiler alert, it's because your dad's sick. Have you met me? I would be so bad on drugs. That's what someone on drugs would say. Love Sophia. Sticking with Sophia. You do have a superhero butt.
She's so cute.
She's amazing. And I'll throw this last one in before we start, you know, copyright infringement. I'm psycho and tired.
Accurate.
Real life or book?
Hard to say. It's hard to say.
Okay, give me yours and we can guess if it's real life or book as
well. All right, all right. This is the best dress ever. I feel like the President of the United States plus the Queen of England plus, like, God. Can freaking out kill you? Maybe? Probably? Yes, I'm dead. I know you're too far away to see my face, Abuela, but I'm crying tears of pain. Tears of pain, Abuela!
God, this book's...
If nobody kills me and I don't have to kill anyone, it will be a good day. That's pretty metal. Yes, I have become quite metal in my old age. How serious she is. And finally, no, I think I might have two more. My smile is dead to me.
Book or Amanda?
Abuela, stop making me feel things.
Book or Amanda?
I think that's it.
Okay, I'm gonna give a couple more because these are
too good.
Yeah, special shout outs.
Okay.
It's not easy being 15. Oh yeah, I forgot how hard life is before you have to work full time and pay taxes.
Oh, truth.
I'm gonna give you some that are a bit more. I forgot how many we actually.
I know, had there's so many.
Written down.
Black my life.
Ugh. Well, you've just discovered that a rando at your school has superpowers and is probably using them for evil. It's totally appropriate to want to go home, crawl under the covers, and take 100 million yen.
Yes. 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 I think.
Oh my god, he's going to pull a Carrie. Who's Carrie? Gah, we need to work on your pop culture literacy.
I think we need to move on. I think we're gonna read the entire book out loud.
We are.
If you liked this, try this. After we just read the entirety of Kinsei for everyone.
We haven't broken any laws. It's fine. Okay. So
it's fine.
I'm going to go for another book. Book that was recommended by the library. And it's a superhero one. And it's called Primer by Jennifer Moreau, who's one of the authors. Thomas Krufeski, who's an author, and Gretel Lusky is the illustrator. And this is the summary that's actually taken from Hoopla. It sounds fun. Ashley Rayburn is an upbeat girl with a decidedly downbeat past. Her father is a known criminal who once used Ashley to help him elude justice, and in his attempt to escape, a life was taken. He now sits in federal prison, but still casts a shadow over Ashley's life. In the meantime, Ashley has bounced from foster home to foster home and represents a real challenge to the social workers who try to help her. Not because she's inherently bad, but because trouble always seems to find her. Ashley's latest set of presumably short-term foster parents are Kitch and Yuka Nolan. Like Ashley, Kitch happens to be an artist. Yuka, on the other hand, is a geneticist working for a very high-level tech company, one that's contracted out for work for the government and the military. And it's Yuka's latest top-secret project that has her very concerned. Developed for the military, it's a set of body paints that, when applied to the wearer, grant them a wide range of special powers. Can you see the cosplay potential here?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. 1,000 times yes.
Fearful that this invention will be misused, Yuka sneaks the set of paints home, substituting a dummy suitcase with an ordinary set of paints in their place. From here, signals get crossed. Ashley comes home from school one day with her new friend Luke and, thinking that the Nolans have purchased a surprise gift for upcoming birthday, finds the sets of paints. Being an artist, Ashley naturally assumes they are for her. It isn't long before she realises that she stumbled upon something much bigger and a lot more dangerous. Although she uses her newly discovered powers for good, it's not long before the military becomes wise to what happened to their secret weapon, and that spells big trouble, not only for Ashley, but for her newfound family and friends as well. I think this sounds amazing, and the the book cover itself looks fantastic. The artwork looks really good, so I am going to read it, and I'm hoping it's going to be good to cover on the podcast sometime because it doesn't look too bad. But honestly, I was reading through it, I was like, there's cosplay potential. I love the fact that there's a found family element, there's the superhero element, and I like the fact it's a non-standard background for Ashley and that it does have, you know, some tougher subject matter as well. It looks really, really fun and interesting as well. So yeah,
I'm excited.
It's called Primer.
Okay.
What have you got?
I am actually going to suggest one that was suggested to us by one of our super fans, Katrina, in our Discord. She suggested that we read Wind. Book one is called Flight of the Prince. And it's by James Tynion IV, Michael Dionynus, and Aditya Bidikar. So
James Tynion is the guy who does the Something Killing the Children. I freaking adore him.
I know.
Oh, I'm so ready.
So here's the summary. I started reading it earlier today, and yeah, already sold.
Okay.
To find your home, first you have to find yourself. In a world where magical heritage is punishable by death, a young boy named Wind must hide his true identity and pointy ears from everyone in Pipetown, even if it means he'll never have the normal life he wants. But when his secret is threatened, Wind is forced to leave his home behind to embark on a dangerous quest that will put him at the heart of a royal conspiracy beyond imagination. Now, on the run with the boy of his dreams, his best friend Oakley, and a literal prince, Wind will have to embrace the magic within himself if he wants to save them from the shocking dangers that await.
Okay, gonna mildly suggest something. And, you know, let's not pre-warn, but shall we cover this in there? Think Katrina wants to come on?
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah. I think we should. I think we should.
Oh my god, I am totally sold on that. I'm gonna just... I'm just going to go to the library now. Just
yes. Don't worry. It's on Hoopla.
You're going to do Spotlight. I'm just going to the library.
Okay. Okay. I will. So this one, it's actually already come out. It was just released on March 5th. Ooh. It's called I Feel Awful. Thanks. And it's by Laura Pickle.
That is one of the greatest titles to a book I have ever heard.
Right?
Oh, yes. Go for it.
Joanna has dragons inside her. Can she tame them before they burn her life down? Joanna is a young witch who secured her dream job with a coven in London, her favorite city, where she can dedicate herself to creating potions, her favorite activity. However, she will soon discover the reality of city life is not so idyllic. Finding a flat is an ordeal, her dream job is stressful, and she's totally alone. Little by little, she makes her place, but fatigue, sadness, and doubts threaten to topple her hard-earned success, until she starts talking to a professional who helps her realize in order to take care of herself, she must know herself. Ooh. So that one, hashtag tenuous link with our anti-hero needing therapy. Getting it at the end.
Yes, and possibly one of the greatest titles in literary history ever.
Yes. Yeah. I feel awful. Thanks.
And I've just loaned out all 3 volumes of Wind that I can see.
Excellent. There is a collected
one. Yeah, that's what I've just loaned out.
Okay. Good. Good, good, good. Okay. So that's it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss our book club book, In an Absent Dream, book 4 of the Wayward Children series by Seanan McGuire. Look out for our Would You Rather polls and monthly challenges on social media. Don't forget about our book club on Discord. Be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangover.redbubble.com for all your favorite Fictional Hangover themed merchandise, and become a patron of ours on Patreon at patreon.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram, Threads, TikTok and YouTube at Fictional Hangover, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover. If you like this episode, check out our others and be sure to rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. And finally, special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and Patreon. Thanks for listening.